tomorrow night the Raptors again will be in Detroit taking on the Pistons. And Detroit's always causing them problems recently. Dwayne Casey and those Pistons, man, they don't cause anyone else problems. They seem to cause the Raptors problems.
That's a good point, Brian.
Yeah, thank you, Dwayne. That is a good point. It's a fact. I mean,
but
somehow
you just see them night after night get absolutely dummied, and then the Raptors show up. It's kind of like a couple, like years ago, they were Tampa Bay Devil Rays or whatever they were. Mm-hmm. They were terrible down there, but they would crush the Jays all the time. Then they built their program up, and they're a legit contender every year. But back in the day, they were garbage, and then the Jays would wheel down there and get crushed.
Yeah. It's true. They were. They were a 45-win team, and 15 of them felt like they were against the Jays.
Oh, my God. Every game.
Yeah. It didn't make much sense. But maybe the Raptors will figure it out tomorrow night. You know, Scotty Barnes was practicing today, so we'll see if he's available tomorrow night. Gary Trent Jr. was not available at practice, but is on the road. And this is a big road trip, again, in Detroit tomorrow. Milwaukee on Saturday, down in Miami, taking on Kyle and the Heat on Monday, and they remain on the road. They're going to be in Dallas. They're rolling through Washington. Here's the head coach of the Raptors, Nick Nurse. How you doing, Nick?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing well. Is the Raptor traveling with you? That's what people want to know. Are you bringing him on the road or what?
I didn't see him on the plane, but
Okay.
I don't think so.
All right. We're just wondering, because a couple of nights ago that was a scene. And I want to ask you about that, like coaching in an empty stadium, like one that you're familiar with. I mean, you coached NBA final games in there where the roof felt like it was going to pop off a tip-off, let alone the end of the game. What's that experience been like for you guys in your club? Because you're the only ones in the league that has to deal with it right now.
Yeah. Well, it's been a little up and down, kind of like everything. I think happy to be playing. I think it was okay. And then there was a couple games where we didn't play with great energy, and it was pretty quiet in there, and neither team played with great energy, so I think that had a little bit to do with it. But what do you do, man? You just got to keep trying to fight your way through it, right?
Is that what you consider the players, Nick? Like, I know the players sometimes in 2022, they're a little bit more high maintenance than they were 30 years ago. Is it just guys don't worry about what's going on in the crowd, go out there and play? Because I'm sure the guys aren't happy about it. You're watching highlights of other games, and it's packed, life's great, life's normal, and then you got to play a home game, and it's nonsense. What do you say to the guys? Or is it just,
you know,
it is what it is?
I haven't addressed it. Yeah, I have not addressed it one time. I think that they've done a good job a couple of games there. I've used this at the press conference before, is they've kind of created a lot of their own fun over there on the bench a couple times. And maybe they were doing that knowing they needed to. I did hear a couple of them say when we went to Milwaukee last week, they were really excited to go play in front of fans again, you know, to go on the road. So, yeah, I give them credit, man. They've done a good job. They've tried to, you know, I've just tried to focus on basketball, hoping that they would, and I think they have done a good job.
Well, one of your guys, Nick, that has provided energy when he's been at his best has been Chris Boucher, and I got a kick out of him telling reporters that he used to watch video of Kevin Durant, but lately he's been watching video of Dennis Rodman to sort of pattern his game after. Now, you coached Dennis Rodman. Let me ask you, do you see some resemblance there, and did you have anything to do with the Rodman video getting in front of Mr. Boucher?
That's good. We're talking a lot about Rodman the last couple of days, which is good. I think that I love it, man. I mean, listen, is Chris's energy and knack for doing that and just getting on the glass and kind of being a pain in the butt out there is awesome. And it's been really high level, especially last game, last few games. I love it. I didn't know he was watching Rodman film, and I guess Justin Champagny's been watching it as well. So those two guys are learning from one of the best, and they're a handful, the pair of them when they're out there going to the offensive glass, pretty relentless and creative, and it's been fun. It's been fun to watch them.
With Nick Nurse, well, we've discussed your bigs and the rotation you've been using a fair amount on this show, because you don't have a conventional big. Now, Dennis Rodman was not a conventional big. He wasn't 7 feet, 280. And you don't have that big man in the paint that's just going to set up shop and hammer the boards and own the paint. And, you know, between Boucher and Precious and Ken Birch. You're finding minutes. You're going to the bench quickly at times to get a big in there. Is this going to be a juggling act all season? How have you come to this conclusion in terms of how you're deciding to use the bigs on your team?
Yeah, this is kind of, you know, there's no real big, but we're big kind of all over, right? So we're bigger at the wings, the two, the three, the four. We're just kind of, pretty big throughout the lineup. And that's what we kind of were hoping to do with this team this year. We were hoping to get a lot of length and athleticism out there, and we haven't got to it that much just because of all the couple guys in, couple guys out, injuries here and there. It seems like, you know, pretty much repeatedly, and then obviously some COVID battles there. But you know, we finally got the team back for a couple games, and was our chance to kind of go out there, you know, come out of the second quarter with five guys 6'8" or bigger, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. It's a cool lineup, Nick. And one of the things that people have noted about that lineup is it doesn't include a guard. And the guard play you've had in the starting lineup has been outstanding with Fred VanVleet, reigning player of the week in the Eastern Conference. But the backups have had a tough time at the point guard. I mean, how much does that concern you? And what do you make of the up and down seasons that Malachi Flynn and Delano Banton have had for you?
Yeah, it's probably part of the reason that we, you know, shifted to what we've done lately. Again, I think we've given Delano and Malachi, you know, some ample looks, and we've gotten forced into doing it too sometimes, where they've got to play the whole game, you know, all kinds of things like that. And I'm not as surprised probably by Delano being up and down. I think that's kind of what rookies do. You know, they're going to have some flashes of brilliance. They're going to have some moments where it's really hard on them out there. I think just getting used to, you know, the number of games. I mean, Delano and Scotty have already played a college season. You know, they're already going past anything they've ever seen before. We're not even to the halfway point yet, right? So
right.
They'll adjust. I think. Just depending on, again, what happens, you know, one or both of them will probably get thrown back in the rotation. I think again, like, you know, we come out there with Pascal and Scotty kind of to start the second unit, to start the second quarter. And both of those guys can kind of share the point guard. And then Scotty goes out here for a little bit. And now I'm sitting here thinking, well, if they take away Pascal or they put too much heat on him bringing the ball up the floor or something, what are we going to do? Well, We may have to go back to one of those two guys, and it'll probably be just based on matchups out there and what it feels like, and maybe a little bit just a gut feel too.
Well, when that's the case, I guess Fred VanVleet is getting his limited time on the bench as a breather. I mean, Fred's stats have been off the charts. He played 44 minutes a couple of nights ago, and yep. He said recently, like, he's seeing different defenses. There's a box and one being thrown at him, and I wonder if you feel any sort of responsibility for that, the box and one.
I do, and I had no idea what to do against it either. But, the biggest thing is he's seeing everything. You're right, he's seeing blitzes and top locks and boxing ones and denials and all that stuff. But the good news is as a team, we're making progress of figuring out how to play off of all that stuff and then still how to keep him involved in that stuff too, you know, when they are making such an effort to do that. 44 minutes the other night's pretty high, right? It was a hell of a game. It felt like a kind of a playoff style intensity, defensive effort. Both teams were really physical going at it, and probably a little high for this time of the year, but we were pretty limited on bodies the other night.
Well, it was obviously a lot of discussion when Kyle, you know, moved on, his absence and him not being around and how you fill those minutes and presence in the room. And everyone was looking towards VanVleet and thinking this is a natural succession, right? Like, he plays the same position and he appears to have the same type of mentality. How much of a comparison do you see in the two guys?
Yeah, very similar, right? Very similar. The biggest thing for both of them is they compete to win. They play both ends. really, really know the game and then can deliver, right? Can deliver a lot in production on the floor, make a lot of winning plays. They're very similar, yeah.
Well, you guys will get a taste of going up against Lowry on Monday. You're down there in Miami. It's not as if you don't know the guy, but what do you expect this experience to be like watching Kyle Lowry in a different uniform and coaching against him?
Well, I got a couple other games to get to before that one.
Right.
But I have seen Miami here a little bit, and right now they're in one of their, which they do, they're in one of their mid-season, they're really firing. They're super healthy. They're playing a bunch of people. They're playing extremely hard. They're really taking it to people. They're in one of their grooves, which they do. Like seems like about this time every year they get in one of these things where they just start wiping out everybody in their way. I'll look a little bit closer. I think it'll be interesting. Kyle will certainly have a lot of info, I think, to give them on our guys. I'm sure he'll be involved heavily in the game plan, but always look forward to playing down there. It seems our team, it's one of the places our team seems to rise up and really play, no matter who we got or who they got or whatever. So looking forward to it.
Well, as much as people are enjoying watching your team this year, Nick, we Raptor fans always love looking back on your championship year in 2019. And interesting anecdote from Phil Handy, who was on a podcast recently, and he talked about being down 0-2 to the Bucks. And, you know, there was talk of what adjustments you guys could make. And the way Phil told it, he said, Kawhi essentially said, you know, I am the adjustment. The adjustment is I'm going to guard Giannis. How do you remember that moment?
we did talk about moving Kawhi over to him more regularly. Obviously, we had him on him. We didn't have him on the whole game. We were trying to, you know, manage the game and get him to certain points and things like that. And then obviously we got down 0-2. And yeah, I kind of remember walking over to Kawhi on the practice floor after the first practice back on that, and saying, you got to go on Kawhi now. And he goes, I know. And I said, okay, that was about it. So there we go.
That'll work. So who on your team do you think could pull that off now, playing Giannis on Saturday night and just said, I want him, I'm taking him?
Well, we're okay there, to be honest. I mean, listen, it's a hard one, and you usually need numbers. And you know, Kawhi saying he's taking, it wasn't like he was on him every second. There's still lots of actions where you're switching, and that was a lot of, you know, you're putting Middleton they do a lot of actions with Middleton, and you have to guard him with both, and you could somehow, if he's big enough, you know, Pascal and Kawhi could end up switching off. Even Serge could get involved in that. You know, now we're with OG, Scotty, Pascal, Precious, probably are the four guys that we will throw at Giannis.
Well, as you said, you got to get through Detroit before you get to Milwaukee, and I
right.
We don't want to look past that, obviously. And
sure don't.
We'll see if Scotty can play tomorrow night, Gary Trent Jr. But I was reading quotes from and listening to Pascal Siakam this morning, and we're well aware of, you know, on the outside looking in anyway, of some of the trials and tribulations he's been through the last couple of years. In the bubble last year, he had some issues, major surgery. But I would say he's playing as well as he's played maybe at any point in his career, the last 7 or 8 games. And even beyond that, maybe the last 5, 6 weeks, he's dialed in.
Yep.
He looks good. Is this the guy you saw before the bubble, or is this an improved version? Like, he's growing, I'm assuming, and evolving as a player. What do you think is clicking so well for Pascal Siakam?
Yeah, I think, you know, the short answer would be he's finally, I think, in a good place physically, which I think is lending really closely to be just in a good place mentally. I think his confidence has just risen. And for me, it's like, I love it that he's scoring and he's grabbing rebounds. I love the rebounding, you know, the numbers. That's like the biggest one that stands out to me. He's just involved in the action and in the fight. I think his rebounding, his passing, he's really playing it at a better rhythm. You know, just far fewer shots in like tremendous traffic. He's drawing traffic and getting it out and making plays. And what else? Is, you know, I just think his overall movement. You know, he's in early, staying late. He's working with the younger guys. He's really become a good leader. And then kind of now this extra is he's actually, you know, we're actually playing him at the point guard. So this is kind of another layer, you know, to his game.
So, Nick, we talked about Dennis Rodman being an influence on some of your players. Of course, the Hall of Famer, one of the great rebounders in the history of the game. Yeah, I wanted to get a sense of your recollections of coaching him. Of course, it was a bit of a vanity appearance back in the British League 15 years ago. Dennis Rodman, 44 years old at the time, comes to play for your Brighton Bears. And what's your best Dennis Rodman story?
It was three games, right? He played three games for us. He was, I don't know if you guys know, he was on Celebrity Big Brother in the UK. Remember when Big Brother was kind of reality TV? It was humongous. Like, seriously, 40 million people were watching it, and he was like a household name in England. So the team got this idea to, you know, see if he'd come play when he got voted off the house. And they said yes, and he came down. It was a really big deal. You know, we normally issue in a British basketball game about three press credentials, and I think we had 190 that night from all over Europe, and people were coming in. And I don't know, what's the best story? The best story is he came in. The game was delayed because he was delayed coming down from London, and all our guys were in the locker room. I think the game was supposed to start at 7:30, and you know, he wasn't there, and they were like, "Oh, he's almost here. We're going to move the game to 8:00." So they push it back to 8:00. All the guys are sitting in the locker room. He comes in about 7:45, and he looks at everybody and says, "Hey, how's it going?" He goes, "I always shower before the game." So he went straight into the shower. So it's like, you know, we think then the ball's going up here in a little bit. He comes out, he sits down, and he says, "Hey, I don't want to start. Coach, start your regular guys. I'll come in off the bench." And so that was kind of cool. And he came in off the bench, and you guys know this. And my team was Phil Jackson, you know, like every young coach back then was running the triangle. And he came in and did one of his, you know, flash-in backdoor passes like the first play, and then at the other end he took a charge right off the bat, and the place was going crazy. So pretty cool.
That is cool. Yeah. I love the – like, you got to have some power. You must be a superstar with Big Brother and reality TV to push the game back because you just didn't show up on time.
Well, it's British basketball. things happen over there where you got to move time slots, and we aren't going live on TV or anything. So it's there was a lot of games moved around. You get stuck in traffic. You do this and that. I probably had 10 or 12 in my career where the game got pushed back from its regular starting time.
Well, it all worked out for you. I don't think that'll be the case tomorrow night. They're not going to adjust
awesome
the
days.
Game. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Always we'll appreciate you finding time for us, Nick. Enjoy it down there, and we'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
Okay, guys. Take care.
There's Nick Nurse, head coach of the Raptors.